episode 436, Under Consumption Core 101.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And today we are doing something we don't do very often, but we are talking about a trending topic that we want to keep trending. Or by the time this episode comes out, it may not be trending anymore. It's under consumption core. And today we're going to talk about what it is, why it's gaining popularity, why you should care about it, if you are already practicing it, what you can do to spread this message.
To be fair, I don't really care whether or not people keep talking about it on social media. I more so care about whether or not we're incorporating practices into our lives that are going to benefit us, benefit our communities. It's cool when something like this becomes highlighted and featured and in some ways applauded. I know that there's holes to poke in it, but I think that a lot of what we've talked about on this podcast, a lot of what you listeners have really held up as far as frugality goes, is highly connected to under consumption core. So I feel like a lot of us can just feel like validated in it. But I think, yeah, there's a lot we want to say on it. And we'll get there. We'll poke the holes. We'll elevate what needs to be elevated.
This is a 101 and a 201 because we recognize that as a Frugal Friends listener, you are already doing most of this. And so here's what you can do next if you want a next step too.
But first, this episode is brought to you by none other than the influencers themselves, the people who don't care if you follow them because they're just out here living their lives non-aesthetically, drinking from whatever cups they can find, using mismatched towels, wearing shoes they bought 3 years ago, and encouraging you that you're enough is enough. They're pushing against overconsumption and showing us how. And if you need to be influenced by some de-influencers, you should probably attend the virtual Get Organized Summit that's running the week of September 9th. They've got over 100 speakers, including yours truly. Jen and I are on this virtual summit with over 100 speakers talking about home spaces, well-being, managing day-to-day tasks. It's all the de-influencing and contentment creating inspiration that we need to reduce our consumption, maybe even our spending. So if you want to attend this virtual conference for free, go to frugalfriendspodcast.com/gohq. You'll get to see our smiling faces and so many other smiling faces. This will be like the right next step to this podcast episode.
Absolutely. Yes. frugalfriendspodcast.com/gohq. And it's free to attend all week, all 100 sessions. So if you are interested in under consumption core, then here are a few other episodes from us that would be very good to check out. We've got De-Influencing Yourself from Social Media with Paige Pritchard. She's overcoming overspending on TikTok and Instagram. That's episode 368. And then our minimalist skincare routine was probably our most recent minimalism episode that we did, but it ties very closely into this TikTok trend. So that's episode 418. But let's get into our headline today. And it is from Elle Magazine. And it's, is under consumption core really as virtuous as it claims? A spicy title. But the subtitle is it really under consumption core or are we just ... normal?
Yeah, when I first read the title of this, I'm like, oh, there's holes to poke in underconsumption and like underconsumption core, which it was interesting to kind of hear both sides and how people are receiving this, which we'll definitely go through. But I think with anything, as you and I were talking before we hit record, there can be this the self-righteousness that comes with probably any trending thing or anything that kind of can come across as virtuous, including frugality. We can put ourselves on a pedestal thinking, look at us, we're doing it all right, whatever it is that we're doing, we think we've got it right. I think that that's primarily the hole that they're kind of poking in this, but we still believe that there's so many amazing things about underconsumption beyond just elevating ourselves personally, but like what it does to our lifestyles and our community and all of that. But it's worth going through it.
Yeah, definitely. So first up, what is underconsumption core? So in short, underconsumption core refers to only buying what you strictly need and then using it up, or wearing it and rewearing it until it needs to be mended or replaced. And so obviously it makes me think of the saying, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without, which I think comes with a negative connotation sometimes, or a self-righteous connotation, like you were saying, Jill. It was used by our elders to say, like, you don't need that. You know, anytime you want something, you don't need it. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, do without. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to know, and what I love about this article specifically is do without is the last.
Mm-hmm.
Do without is the last of that. We use it up is first. We look at what we have. And this was created during the Great Depression, the saying. So obviously they didn't have a lot. So they were doing without a lot. And that's why this phrase has so much connotation with deprivation. But the first part is to use it up, wear it out. And those are repurposing things. Those are really positive. You know, we're looking at the wealth around us and we're getting creative with how we use it. We're wearing it out. We're using products up in their fullest capacities. And this is something you see a lot in this TikTok trend is people opening makeup containers that are no longer like pumping out any. And when they open them up, there is still a week's left of product in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, for most of us, when we're at the end of our soap, we're putting a little water in it.
Heck yeah, we are.
Yeah. So these are really good things. And the make it do or do without, those are last case scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of like what we're talking about with in buy what you love without going broke. The reason we say it's a values-based spending includes sacrifice, but not deprivation, is because sometimes in our, you know, in our hearts, we want to go out and buy the new thing. Like that's what we would rather do, but we sacrifice that motivation, that desire to use up and wear out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not being deprived. We can still go out and buy it once we use up and wear out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to immediately jump to make do or do without.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the order of that. I have been finding myself mostly in a joking manner, but I have been using the phrase waste not, want not like a ton.
Mm-hmm.
Lately, with Eric, with friends, I'll just say it again, usually to be funny, but maybe it's connected to this trend that's happening. And I think with all things, there's a way to do it sustainably and well for ourselves, and there's a way to do it super extreme that's mm-hmm. not necessarily going to lead to well-being. And I even think with this under consumption trend, you still have higher levels of consumption, because to get into that bottle and get the rest of the product out, they're selling more products to scrape out the rest. Like I think I've seen, you know, a special type of tool that they're selling now to scrape out the rest of the foundation or the cream or whatever it is. So like there's also a way to end up doing this where you're still mindlessly spending mm-hmm. and consuming products that maybe something else that you had in your home could have been useful. But at its core, I think it is this low waste, somewhat minimal, simplified, frugal, stewarding all resources well kind of approach. But of course, there's always all sorts of ways that we can approach this, a way to do it that's going to be have some longevity to it, and a way in which it dies because it's not trendy anymore.
There's a quote in this article that I really loved. Underconsumption core doesn't necessarily equate to foregoing luxuries or even being all that thrifty. It simply means using the things you've bought until they're finished.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like great, because frugality is not being cheap, right? Mm-hmm. It's simply using what we have, being good stewards of our money and our physical resources, our physical products.
Yeah. The trend itself, it seems to have somewhat originated on TikTok, although this is not a new idea. But as far as the term underconsumption core as a trend did originate with TikTok, mostly with people, again, using up products, rewearing things, making it okay to wear clothing again, wear it till it's absolutely worn out, these types of things. People showing kind of their non-aesthetic houses, I'm sure we've seen everywhere. So this is where that has kind of been happening and trending. But again, it's not, none of it's new.
Yeah, I think this highlights just another, it's another round in the cycle of people being interested in consuming less. Because for so long, the narrative has been earn more so that you can consume more. Don't focus on controlling your consumption. Focus on controlling your income so that it supports your consumption. And I think there's part of it is a fight, like push back against hustle culture, that's that mentality promotes hustle culture. And part of it is against inflation. I think a lot of the news outlets are saying this is a response to inflation, which yes, I do think that ties into it. But I think inflation has been more of like an eye-opener to just how unsustainable these fast fashion hauls and these grocery store hauls and these nice car tours and nice aesthetic house tours are for people mm-hmm. that are not in the business of social media. Mm-hmm. So this is fine for people who are literally showing off their house, cars, groceries for a living. These are almost tax write-offs for their business, right? But for the rest of us, it's not sustainable. And so I think this is just, you know, we had loud budgeting earlier this year. We had de-influencers. Now we're going with underconsumption core. And there will just be cycle after cycle of this because people are fed up with the overconsumption that the traditional narrative has been touting.
Which is what makes me so excited for the timing of our book, Buy What You Love Without Going Broke, because I think all of this ends up leading to, okay, but how exactly? Mm-hmm. Because just using up the last of my moisturizer, what is that really doing? But I think there's a deeper message here that I don't think social media has truly tapped into yet that our book does address. And that is getting to the core of why we would do these things and creating that pause of, do I really need these things? What is meeting the core of my needs and my values? They asked that question in this article. Do I really need 4 concealers, a cream and a powder blush, 3 pairs of sneakers, 2 coats, 10 handbags? Like, do I really need the amount of things that I have been impulse purchasing that has been sold to me as what will help me to belong, make me feel good about myself, make me feel like I'm fitting in? Or can I choose a different path? And is there potentially greater levels of contentment on the other side of that? And we would say, yes, if pursued rightly, if pursued in the sense of figuring out who you are, what matters to you, doing some of that foundational work, and then allowing your actions and your purchasing to inform that. Absolutely. I think there's greater levels of contentment, less stress on the other side. But I think right now the trend is just focusing on the actions and not entirely the reasoning behind it. And for it to last, we need to make that connection. But it's a great start, and it does open up that conversation for how do we make that connection between me choosing to consume less and it not just being because high inflation, mm-hmm. but because I actually see benefit in my life. I see long-term implications. I see that I'd be able to reach other financial goals sooner. I see that I have a greater understanding of who I am, and I'm able to live into those things, and I'm able to respond to my needs better because I'm not clouded by all of this other information.
Yeah. There has been some pushback mm-hmm. on underconsumption core, saying that some of it is just normal living and that people who are saying that this type of living is core, like underconsumption core, are kind of in privilege. Yeah. So I think there's definitely both sides to it, right? You know, you've got the Olsen twins carrying around, they're famous for carrying around these high-end bags that they've been carrying for, you know, over a decade that are kind of, they get dirty and they, you can tell they get them clean because of the paparazzi photos. Like, this is the same bag just over and over for, you know, 10 plus years. But sometimes it's not cleaned and it's seen as like this, Jill, you wrote this on the outline, the cosplay of poverty.
Well, that's what the Olsen twins, I know this article highlights, you know, just like the Olsen twins who wore out their luxury handbags, but that was previously pushed against because there has also been this trend amongst uber wealthy mm-hmm. celebrities of cosplay poverty and the like high peasant look where these very wealthy people in an effort to try to connect with their followers and other consumers are looking as if they don't have a lot of money, like giving mm-hmm. the impression and idea that they can't afford a certain lifestyle, trying to, I guess, make themselves seem a little bit more relatable, even though they're not. Like, it's this, there's been this pushback on that tension. So I think that this can highlight that, but I don't think that that's what true underconsumption is.
Yeah.
Is like a putting on of something. And I think the pushback of, isn't that just normal living? Maybe, but at least we've got people who are showing that as a regular lifestyle rather than the alternative of the fancy cars, the 10-step skincare regimen, mm-hmm. the super beautiful on-trend clothing, the home that is always updated with like crazy light fixtures. And this is what, if that's all that we're seeing, then that is what can become normal. I think this underconsumption core is helping to tether it and bring it back to that's actually not normal, and you don't have to aspire to that, especially if it's not what you want. There can be another way of living that is just normal, and
yeah.
that's fine.
And I don't think calling it a normal way of living is really a like condemning of it or a criticism. Mm-hmm. Like, we want more authenticity on social media. That should be praised. It shouldn't be criticized. So when you see this, also know you're seeing it from a lot of very young people who may not have the bills that a mom with two kids has, right? So mm-hmm. you need to also understand when you're seeing these things that a lot of the people, not all, but a lot of the people creating this content are in a different life stage too. All they're seeing are these fast fashion hauls and the like, and they're pushing back, and that's awesome. And let's encourage that. Let's not criticize it. And let's just do more to normalize authenticity and not being the aesthetic perfection that social media so often demands. So let's talk about some tips and ideas on how to practice underconsumption core. And then also for my 201 girlies who are like, I'm already doing like 10 out of 10, let's talk about what we can do to benefit, like to capitalize on this outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the intersection here with minimalism, sustainable living, low waste, frugality. And so none of this will be entirely new, but it is a way to participate and lean into this further, like doing a minimalist wardrobe challenge. There's so many out there. Google it. One of our favorites is Courtney Carver's
333.
So it's, well, the 333, three of everything, right?
It is 333, it's like 33 items every 3 months.
That's, yeah, I thought it was 33 items. Yeah. So that includes, I think, even accessories for her. You can come up with your own, whether however many items you want to identify that you want to be wearing. And it's a practice of really being creative with what you have in your closet, but also being okay with wearing the same thing multiple times. People seeing you in the same clothing and kind of building up that confidence that this is okay. I don't have to have new clothing constantly. I don't have to be contributing to the fast fashion world and just the high turnover of clothing and textiles. So that challenge and can help us really identify, what do I really love wearing? What do I feel best in? So we love a good minimalist wardrobe challenge.
Yeah. And one of the things that some of these girls are doing is are showing pictures of the same outfit styled in different ways. So this is something you don't even have to do on social media. You can do just on your phone. And it's actually a very good idea to do on your phone is to take pictures of all of your outfits, all the ways that you can wear one piece of clothing, different ways you can style the same outfit so they look different. That way, when you walk into your closet and you're like, I don't know what to wear, you can go back into that folder on your phone and you can just look through and get ideas and see what have I not worn or styled in a while. And so that's a really great way to make, to keep cycling through all the options in your closet. And we also love, you know, getting your colors done. If you're not a black and white girly, you don't only want to wear black, white, gray, and beige, to have your colors done online or in person and see what colors look best on you. If you want to wear yellow, but some yellows look bad on you and some yellows look good, then you probably just need to get your colors done to identify what shade of each color is best for you so you feel the best. And that can help you create this minimal wardrobe that you feel good wearing 100% of, not just 20% of. So next, I mean, they're also doing DIY upcycling projects. So this is really great when you get tired of something. Instead of sending it straight to the thrift store, think about how you can upcycle it. So one of the girls used avocado skins to dye a shirt, a white shirt, and it turned out pink. And so she was just boiling a bunch of avocado skins on the stove with this shirt, which I assume would be 100% cotton because you have to get a synthetic dye for polyester. So just know you need different dyes for different fabric types. But she was just doing it on the stove and the shirt came out pink.
That's
somehow
so cool.
Right? So, so if you're tired of something before you put it in the thrift store, which is, you know, kind of like one step above the landfill, sometimes you send it to the thrift store and they put it in the landfill for you. And it's just this delayed throwing away. Sorry to break it to you. But think about, can I upcycle this or repurpose this in a way that I can save it from the landfill for a little longer, and but it still feels new to me. I don't feel like I'm making do, because that's one of the, we don't want to just make do and do without. We want to really reuse. I love, Jill, your reuse of your lamp, your
light fixture. Yeah, recently. So I had gotten this free pendant, like hanging light. It's very large from a previous work. And we've held on to it for forever and wanted to use it in our living room, but it didn't quite match the rest of it. It was silver and the rest of our stuff is more like gold and black and the wood tone wasn't quite right. But we also couldn't find another lamp that we liked for a reasonable price or like a pendant that we liked for the living room. So we ended up just spray painting the metal black and got walnut veneer to wrap around the previous wood and just polyed it and hung it up, and now it actually matches
so good
everything.
Yeah.
And that cost us like $10. So sometimes upcycling might cost money, but then we didn't get rid of a perfectly usable, actually great size, like as far as its form goes.
And you would never have gotten something like that for $10.
No,
even on
so
Facebook
true.
Marketplace.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have. And you still, you bought something new to repurpose it. So this isn't this doesn't involve 100% thrifting.
Yeah.
Right.
My old coffee table became the backdrop for the Frugal Friends studio. If you watch us on YouTube, you can see,
No.
Would we have this on YouTube? Maybe not. Instagram, you'd probably see it.
We'll take a picture sometime.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of upcycling. I'm also a big fan of the thrift store. So if you are a person who you really do enjoy shopping occasionally, or you actually do need a wardrobe refresh, do a thrift store haul first.
Thrift day.
Yeah. Go and see whether it's a consignment store or a thrift store, anything secondhand. You can find some really great stuff. And I will say, because this is becoming more and more popular, it's not as often. You can find stores. So I know, Jen, you're not a huge thrifter. You don't like digging. However,
in-person thrifter. Love shopping secondhand online.
Right. But there are becoming more and more stores that are a little bit more boutique style with their secondhand offerings that feel closer to a typical store.
Okay,
it's
girl.
Not crazy.
These
you don't
shorts
do a ton of
that
digging.
I'm wearing right now.
Yeah.
I went to, Label Swap over in Tampa.
Yeah.
And that's where these are from.
Yeah.
Yep.
My shirt is thrifted that I'm wearing right now. We love a good thrift store.
And at this point, Goodwill is selling at the same prices as these boutique consignments. So you're better off just going to these individually owned, locally owned consignment stores.
It is true. I've been so pleased with some of even the boutique ones because they'll still do their stickers with their 25, 50, 75% off. They still have to move stuff through their store. So don't knock it till you try it.
It's great. Yeah. Try it. Don't, skip the spa day. Try a thrift day where you're just going to all these thrifts and you're like balling on a budget. Shopping spree.
Still
pretty
only
woman-ing
what you actually
it.
Need. I would say make your list ahead of time. Yeah. Figure out what your wardrobe is lacking, especially if you have your colors done. Know what's going to look good on you. You know, even though you're getting it less expensive doesn't mean we need more of it. We still want quality over quantity.
Yeah, I have to remember when I say pretty womaning it. Like my idea of a shopping spree is buying like four things in one day. So, if you're different from me, maybe don't pretty woman it.
When you use the word haul, it does give the idea that it's more than just like what you can hold with your hand.
I once tried to do a haul video. I went out specifically to do a thrift haul video, and I honestly came back with four items from the day going to different thrift stores. And again, like I'm not a hunter, so that's why it was a little hard for me. But I was like, I can't do haul videos.
You just, do. My job. I totally could do a haul video. Because I do keep a list of things. And then if I give myself a day to go to a bunch of different places, I can usually really check off everything that's been on that list that's been building for like the last 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. So yeah, try yourself one of those. I love like repurposing. So reusing like old towels, cutting them into cleaning rags. This is probably my favorite thing to do. Reusing like old jars, glass jars as drinking cups. I know people love to do that. Using makeup until it's completely out. So a big thing on TikTok is there's a way that you can add water or do something to get makeup out and then kind of pack it in like scraps of different blushes and then just combine them into one thing. I don't know how to do it, but it is a thing that I've seen people do so that they can use the little bits of everything in their makeup. Do carry use things that are not aesthetically pleasing according to social media. Dented water bottles, bags that maybe are a little frayed or stained. You know, you don't have to get your clothes don't have to have huge stains on them. In that case, you can repurpose with some dye, So just think about what can I do to,
I've been doing mending too. Like I'll have a pile of mending. I have one right now. And once I get like three or four items that need to be mended, then that'll be like while I sit and watch TV. Mm-hmm.
That's actually one of our lives. The pre-order incentives
for the book
that we are giving to everybody who pre-orders the book.
Buywhatyoulovebook.com.
Yeah, one of the things is on September 22nd, make your clothing last. This is a free class we're doing for everybody who pre-orders the book. We're going to be talking about mending, high quality fabrics, you know, tips for dyeing, you know, the difference mm-hmm. between like synthetic cotton, how to get the best. Maybe we'll even eat some avocados and try that avocado.
That'd be fun.
Thing. Yeah.
Should I save my mending for the group?
Yeah. Because we're going to be doing live like how to. We're not just going to mm-hmm. be talking about this. This is going to be like a visual thing. And I think, does this episode maybe come out? When does this episode come out? We should
August
know that.
August 27th.
Oh, so if you pre-order this morning, you can catch our meal prep class, which is tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. So you might miss that one, but the next one is the clothes class.
Cool. And we did want to make one final note. If you're like, I'm already doing all of these things, this is me, then I think the next step here is ongoing permission giving to yourself and to others. Maybe don't be so shy about what you're doing, how it's benefiting you. Continue to normalize these things. If that means that you choose to share some of this on social media, so be it. If it means that you're talking with friends about it and sharing the benefits, again, not from a I'm better because I do these mm-hmm. things. And I don't think that our listeners are that way, but from this vantage point of here's what has actually really helped me in ways that I've decreased stress and the ways that I have really identified what truly matters to me, the skill sets that I've built as a result of this. These are the types of things that I think community is made for, where we can mm-hmm. exchange skill sets and ideas and encourage one another and just achieve things and go further than if we would have been doing this on our own. Like, we're not going to discover what we don't know without engaging with other people and learning from others about that. I mean, it's why Jen, you and I did this podcast. We enjoyed so much about the conversations we were having, the permission we were finding in talking about a traditionally taboo topic. And then, okay, how do we open this up for more people? It's like that.
Yeah.
Find people that you can talk about this with and exchange ideas on how can we make things last longer? How can I underconsume without feeling deprived? How might even underconsumption get me closer to understanding myself better?
Yeah. And I think part of this journey might be chronicling it on your social media page. Instead of posting the perfect picture from brunch, you're posting a picture of your upcycled DIY project or a way you got creative in upcycling something or using something out. I just want to read two quotes from another article that I read in prep for this episode. First is, by embracing this movement, we're not only promoting a sustainable lifestyle, but also building a community that values authenticity and creativity over constant spending. Mm. And that's the mindset we want to cultivate in our communities. And by doing it ourselves, we give this unspoken permission for others to do it for themselves. And then the other quote is, underconsumption core invites us to reclaim our power as consumers. And by embracing underconsumption, we can contribute to a culture that values quality over quantity and mindfulness over impulse.
Mm, what a good summary.
And I think that is the core, that's the core that we're trying to get across in this episode, is that we know a lot of y'all are already doing this stuff. So how can we be the voice and the light in our communities to keep this trend not just viral, but like sustainable? How can we encourage others to use up and wear out? How can we encourage people to view frugality as creativity and quality over the traditional, you know, make do or do without?
There's another core to this podcast that we are super hardcore about.
And that we want all communities to be core about.
The Bill of the Week!
That's right! It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, Jen and Jill. My name is Kelly. I live in Seattle. I've been here about a year and I moved from the Midwest. And my Bill of the Week is that for the first year living here in one of the most expensive cities in the U.S., I could only find part-time work 20 hours a week as a contract gig. So I was paying for my own health insurance, not investing in retirement for an entire year, and just making substantially less than I've ever made. And the job market right now, let me tell you, is tight. But thankfully, after like 12 months of trying, I finally got a full-time offer somewhere, and the pay is, I mean, in my opinion, amazing. It's not like tech money, but it is really, really stable. I'll have health insurance, I'll have benefits, and I'm just so excited to be able to feel secure again after a whole year of feeling really, really shitty. Yeah.
Wow, Kelly. It's so real. And when we talk about authenticity, this is it. Like, in personal finance content, this is not what they're talking about. They're talking about job hopping. They're talking about hustling, businesses, side gigs, all this. But like, this is real life. And so congratulations, Kelly. And I hope that if you're listening to this and you are struggling to find full-time work, which we've heard from so many of you that the job market is just, it's so hard right now. Like, we see you. And we hope this stuff helps you specifically and is not for, like, you know, the privileged financial independence seeker that has mobility, you know, in these things. But like, I hope you feel seen, and I hope that you feel encouraged by Kelly's words that those jobs are out there. Keep trucking, keep looking, keep expanding, and yeah. I just, good luck to you and congratulations, Kelly.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you on this side of it. But yeah. I know that sounds like a really tough time when you were just in the contract work and not a lot of stability, not doing the things with your finances that you want to do. And I just want to also normalize that we do find ourselves in those seasons. So there could be people listening who they're not at the Kelly part of the journey where they found the full-time work. And sometimes those seasons really do stink, but I think there is an entire lifetime here. So it's okay to be in those seasons. It's not going to be entirely devastating for the long haul. And we're here for you. You have support here.
Yes.
If you all listening have a bill that you want to submit, if it's good news, if it's news in just the trenches of what is the economy and life right now, we're here for it all. Especially we're here for all of you bills. People named Bill, all types of bills. Mm-hmm. FrugalFriendsPodcast.com/bill. Leave us your bill. And now it's time for
the lightning round. Pew, 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 pew. All right. So under consumption core, to me, it's mindful consumption, because we're not under consuming. We're consuming well. We're consuming fully in under consumption core. So whether it's intentional consumption, mindful consumption, today, the question is, what's your favorite personal mindful consumption hack?
You asked this question, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right, go for it.
Okay. So mine are not, it's not going to be groundbreaking or like really inspirational.
Dang it. All right, never mind.
I'm so sorry. But like, okay, so I know you're really good at food. That's your personal area. I think for me, I like to reuse and maintain like home stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we've probably traveled with the same, some of the same furniture pieces and art pieces from house to house for the entirety of our marriage. So almost 10 years. We just hung art on our wall the other day in preparation for our party. And actually the day of the party, we finally got around to hanging the wall art. And one was new. One I had just bought.
Nice.
One we had had since we moved in 2 years ago, but just never got around to hanging. And the other, I bought at Goodwill, I think before I met Travis. It's a set of plants.
Like something old, something new, something bar, something blue, yeah, kind of. On the wall.
Yeah. So yeah, just, and keeping those big pieces out of landfills is something that I am very interested in. I feel like I love to, I can compost food, but I cannot as easily compost something metal, you know, or something plastic. If it's wood, it can be, you know, ground up and used in the earth. But so I want to save those pieces from landfills. And so I like to buy them on Facebook. We're a big Facebook Marketplace family.
Are.
Girl, we big Facebook Marketplace family. And just like whatever I can buy secondhand on eBay or Poshmark or those are my favorites right now. ThredUp is not my favorite.
Favorite place to sell?
Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, for sure.
Because
that's where it goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. I like to keep it local.
Yeah, not have to go to mail stuff constantly.
Yeah, well, Travis bought a few Lego kits. And when he went to resell them, he did resell them on eBay because they were specialty. Like, you could just get more money on the from them on eBay. And they were not that expensive to ship.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Man, this has become so ingrained into my lifestyle. It is hard to pick just, like, I look at every aspect of life and I'm like, yeah, there's a way that and I think I'm so glad that it's becoming more popular because I think that this is where people could borderline, like, you're so stingy.
Yeah.
You just don't want to spend any money. And for me, it's not necessary. I'm not afraid of spending. Thankfully, through the podcast, I've become more and more like, this is a good thing to do and an okay thing to do. You just need to feel good about it. But I love the creative aspect of reducing, reusing, repurposing. I love feeling really good then about every spending decision that I make. So if we were to say hacks, you all know this about me, but I would say probably my favorite is keeping lists. As I come across a need, whether it's in the kitchen or the house or outside, I'll put it in a list, like put it in my notes. And usually what that helps me to do is like keep it front of mind to come up with potentially an alternative solution. But if it's been on the list for a long time, then the next time I'm at the thrift store, it's what I look for. But usually it's things that I can learn workarounds for until I want to purchase that convenience. But I feel really good about those purchases because they feel very mindful. Like I've thought about this, I've written it down, we've engaged in workarounds, we've explored problem solving solutions. And if it's still there on the list, then okay, now I can feel good about spending on it.
Oh yeah. Okay. So a hack, here's a new hack actually. This is brand new. I deleted Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Amazon off my phone. Anything that could make me... So honestly, why I did it was because I was spending too much time like zoning out on there. But also these are things that make me want to buy things. So now when I go to like mindlessly scroll, I'm either mindlessly scrolling ThredUp, Poshmark, eBay, if I'm like looking for products. It forces me to think secondhand first, or I am reading something, you know, like online, something that's good for my time.
You mean you're editing our book, Buy What You Love Without Going Broke. That's what you're reading?
I mean, it's already.
We have one more round of read through.
I'm emailing people in hopes that they will talk about our book, yes. Buy What You Love Without Going Broke. So that's another thing I can do besides scrolling Instagram. So if you're having trouble with social media, or if you are having trouble with the hauls, or like you want to be under consumption core, but social media is doing more harm than good in that area for you, then that could be a helpful hack, is to just delete them for a time. I don't plan to delete them, you know, forever. I think maybe I will go back on around or after November 8th-ish, I think, maybe. It's just a soft date. I don't know. Well, thank you so much for listening. We love, love, love reading your kind reviews. And we especially love this one from Aaron with a K. The only money-related podcast I enjoy. It happens to be 5 stars. As a trying to be responsible grown-up person, I try to keep on top of financial advice, but it always seems like a chore. Jen and Jill give me all the info I need, but I actually look forward to listening to and learning from them. Thanks for making a serious topic so much fun.
Wow. Thanks. Yeah. Aaron with a K. And it makes me wonder, does that mean your name is Eric instead? That's very fun.
That's so true. Thank you, Aaron with a K.
What a kind review. And thank you all for listening, your kindness, for being here. And if you enjoyed the show, feel free to give us another kindness of leaving a review. Mm-hmm. It's one of the ways that you can help us sell the book, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because the more reviews that we have, the more established we appear, which we have been doing this for over 6 years. And we need our reviews to match that reality. And it would really help us be able to get on other podcasts, be able to talk about this values-based spending and give more permission, normalize what we're talking about a bit more so that others can feel normal. That's what we're doing.
Yes. Just
helping us all feel normal. So leave a review and a rating. That'd be so, so helpful.
And thank you. At the time of this recording, we are actually very close to 1,000 reviews. Jill, ask me how close.
Jen, how close are we to reaching 1,000 reviews? Last time I checked, we were at like 960, I think.
We're at 998. Yeah, but they haven't popped up in two days, repopulated in 2 days.
But here's the thing, folks. We don't need to stop at 1,000. We can keep going because that'll help.
If you've already left a review, you can purchase a copy of Buy What You Love Without Going Broke. And that would
actually help us sell the
book.
Be
even more helpful. Yes. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Okay, so tonight we're talking about meal planning, right? Meal planning.
Yes. So if you have pre-ordered the book, check your email for a special email with a special link to tonight's free class.
And we would have their email from them pre-ordering, or do they have to contact us?
There is a order form. If you go to buywhatyoulovebook.com, there's a form on that page where you fill in your order information. You got to show a screenshot of your order. And then once you do that, then you will automatically be sent the instructions to register for an account on Circle. That's where all of our special private lives are happening.
It'll all be free. Yeah, that's good information. Because even if you miss tonight, you can make it to the rest. I think there's, what, 5 more?
There'll be 5
live
more
events that you can participate in.
Yeah.
All around life skills building and just exchanging of ideas and skill sets so that we can consume less.
Essentially around this under consumption core idea. So the meal prep and planning is all about utilizing all the food you have, buying as little as possible and getting the most out of it. We've got the clothing one. We've got one on transportation. one on housing, not just for homeowners, but for renters as well. And then we've got the last two are the best two. The December's is creating a full year meal plan. So we're going to create a full year meal plan for 2025 together, live. And then we're going to create an all year spending plan in January for all of 2025. Mm. So.
And then we're all going to get our books in January and we're going to geek out.
Mm-hmm. The January one's at the end of January, so you have time to read the book if you'd like to before that final free live.
How fun.
Yeah. So we look forward to seeing you there tonight if you have pre-ordered. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you at the September live if you're pre-ordering after today.
Mm-hmm. Bye.